a landscape of artificial mountains, the pyramids, foothills, which were lesser mounds, caves, like the sacred cave underneath the greatest pyramid, the Pyramid of the Sun, and open spaces. All of this replicated the spiritual world, the cosmos of the city. The grid plan of the city was bisected by the 3-mile Street of the Dead on a north-south axis. Should mention that the name Street of the Dead is a modern name. We don't know what the inhabitants called it. Between AD 1 and AD 100, the time of Christ, the colossal Pyramid of the Sun rose on the east side of the Street of the Dead, 200 foot high, with 700 foot sides. Its immense staircase and 5 stages dominate the plaza and buildings around it. The one thing when you go and see Teotihuacan, and I beg you if you go there to Mexico to go and see it, it's one of the great archaeological sites of the world. You stand in front of this pyramid and you are dwarfed by it. You feel insignificant in its presence. And that was precisely the effect the architects wanted. This was a statement of power, and the plazas below, where hundreds of people were gathered, were diminished by this enormous sacred mountain. And under this mountain, this pyramid, was a natural lava cave, a symbolic entrance to the underworld, discovered by accident when restoration work on the pyramid was being done some years ago. This huge complex of pyramids and plazas, which also includes the Pyramid of the Moon, where they recently discovered human sacrifices, was intended to dwarf the individual. Even today, every time I go there, I feel overwhelmed. The sheer scale of this city is enormous. It's huge. 2 miles south of the Pyramid of the Moon, the Street of the Dead intersects with an east-west avenue, dividing the city into 4 quadrants, each with their own color and their own spiritual association. A huge square enclosure, called the Ciudadela, stands at the intersection. And this is complete with a temple to the feathered serpent Quetzalcoatl. From recent excavations, we know that at least 200 people were sacrificed in the foundations of this temple, whose facade, which displays the mask of Quetzalcoatl and the mask of the rain god Tlaloc, depicts the moment of creation. Teotihuacan covered at least 8 square miles. It teemed with dense urban populations, with artisans and traders from all over the Mesoamerican world. There were even foreign enclaves where visitors of residents from Oaxaca and Veracruz lived, traders who brought critical commodities like tropical bird feathers, obsidian, pottery, foodstuffs from the lowlands to the greatest city on the highlands. But Teotihuacan was far more than that. It was an important place of pilgrimage, a marketplace for the Valley of Mexico, with uneasy alliances, with people living at much greater distances. It was a hub. It was familiar with the lowlands, with Oaxaca, with the Pacific and Atlantic coasts, and it received products from all of them. This was a vast state, very, very powerful. Teotihuacan's inhabitants lived in wards based apparently on kin ties and more commercial considerations, such as crafts or merchandise or jobs they had. The names of the rulers are unknown, but clearly they had shamanistic roles, just like the Maya. They made public appearances, which were probably carefully rationed, and they were considered to be gods. There were signs that in the later stages of its history, the rulers of Teotihuacan became more militaristic and indulged more in human sacrifice.